everyone. I am Laura Kaluger, Senior Associate Editor with Commercial Property Executive, and I am glad to be the host of a new podcast series with Crew Network Professionals. For this first recording, I've invited the network's CEO, Wendy Mann, to talk about one of Crew's most important projects. Every 5 years, Crew conducts a critical research study that measures the progress of women in commercial real estate and benchmarks diversity in the industry. Hello, Wendy. Thank you for joining me.
Happy to be with you today.
First, please tell us a few general details about this study and how you've collaborated with the MIT Center for Real Estate.
The 2020 Crew Network Benchmark Study is the singular and only study that actually benchmarks women's progress in the industry and has been since 2005. So in 2020, we'll have the first 20-year period to look at the history of where we've been and where we're going and where we are at this moment. I think the significant thing about the 2020 study is that for the first time, we've broadened it to cover all diversity. So it will not just be women, but diversity overall in the industry. And we've invited, again, a first for us, we've invited other industry organizations to partner with us by distributing the survey and asking them to invite their members to participate, because the critical factor here is that the greater participation we have throughout the industry truly makes this an industry study to measure the progress of women and people of color in the industry. And so for Crew Network, we can definitely capture women in the industry, but we need men to participate as well so that we can really see the difference and where we are as a industry in terms of equity and parity. And so those are pretty significant dynamics that have switched for this year. And MIT, of course, the Center for Real Estate, is one of the premier, if not the premier, academic researcher in commercial real estate. So we feel very confident of the team we're working with, and they are doing a great job so far.
What are the key findings of the last study you conducted? Although it wasn't as broad as this one, as you just mentioned, but what are the key findings?
Because in 2015, our study was, it's a benchmark. So we do ask many of the same questions year over year, or every 5 years when we conduct the study. We did expand it this year, but I will tell you that the top three or four things I would say that are important from the last time we conducted was that more women fill senior vice president, managing director, and partner positions more than ever. The aspiration gap, which is an opportunity gap, exists between men and women in commercial real estate. 28% of women surveyed aspire to the C-suite versus 40% of men. And the 47% of women respondents aspire to the senior vice president, managing director, or partner levels. And so I think what's important about the aspiration gap is that the difference between 28% of women, and when we ask them why they didn't aspire to the C-suite, many of them, there were two primary reasons. One is that they feel like their home environment or their home situation wouldn't support the demands on that type of role. And then the second, which I think is really important that the industry can address, is that that the culture within the company did not support the demands that would be on women in those roles. So I think that's an important piece of information. In addition to that, in 2015, the industry median annual compensation was $115,000 for women and $150,000 for men. So there's an average income gap of 23.3%. And the income gap was widest at the C-suite at 29.8%. One in five women surveyed said that family or marital status has adversely impacted their career or compensation. And I think those are pretty big points. So I'm anxious to see what we find in 2020, if anything has changed, and if so, how much.
I'm sure it'll be interesting. Let's try to go back to the first study you conducted. How have things evolved?
Well, the first study, we didn't know what, you know, we were walking into, and it was a brilliant idea. And I have to credit our early leaders, especially this was the brainchild of Deb Kwok, who has been involved with Crew for many years. And so I would say in 2005, when we conducted this, there was no discussion about diversity and inclusion, and there was no discussion about sponsorship or any kind of male, female, gender related issues. I think what's happened that's been a boost for us as well as society as a whole is that we've come into a whole different era society-wide about women and women in leadership roles and women in independent women making their own way. And so dynamics have completely changed throughout society about women and their roles in working places, and not just our industry, but other places as well. So I would say that fundamentally there are more women in commercial real estate. I would say that there are more, there's more attention being called to gender disparity and inequity in terms of pay parity. So I think that there's attention on and spotlight on it now, whereas back when we started this, it wasn't even a discussion. And so there's more discussion, there's more visibility and clarity around it, and there's more drive in terms of society of diversity. And so even though commercial real estate lags behind, there's a bigger push among our clients and our business partners to want to work with diverse teams. So I think that that bottom line issue for companies in that we can document now that diverse gender diversity and diversity overall drives the bottom line. And there's studies, I think the McKinsey study has proven documentation that diverse groups improve the bottom line. And I think the other piece of it that companies recognize in commercial real estate is that when they go to the table to pitch a deal or they go to the table to close a deal, their partners and their clients want to see a diverse group of people because they are focused on that diversity piece as well. So I think there's different drivers that have helped elevate the study and elevate our consciousness about the disparity between men and women.
You mentioned earlier gender pay gap. How I know this 2020 study will probably reveal a new percentage, but from what you know, from what you read, you're always in the industry, you always talk to women. What is the average gender pay gap in the US?
In 2019, women made 79 cents for every dollar that men made. So that's actual fact and has been documented. What often gets lost in translation is what the gap truly represents, and that is that women are less likely to hold high-level, high-paying jobs than men because there are structural barriers which keep women from advancing in the workplace. So it's not only the pay gap, but it's the systems in place that hold women back. And those need to be, and that's culture and that's bias and all kinds of things that we address throughout all of our research and our white papers.
So would you say that women still struggle to get on real estate boards?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, with the change in California law earlier this year, I think that this could become a something that moves as model legislation into other states as well. But, you know, that the California law, which requires public companies to have a particular number of women on their board, could be a game changer. But still, it is difficult to get on corporate boards within the commercial real estate space. If you can't even rise to the highest levels of C-suite, how can you be considered eligible for those board roles? I think the two go hand in hand in many ways.
So why do women want to enter the real estate industry in the first place? It's pretty hard. It's mostly men here. Why do they still want to do this?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question. I recently had a conversation with a young woman who was a student at a university in Texas pursuing commercial real estate as her career. And she wasn't pursuing the finance side or transactions or legal. She said, I want to be a broker. And she said, I want to be a broker because I can control my destiny. I can make as much money as I want. And I'm an entrepreneur. And so I think that what we're seeing with the younger generation of women is they don't see the same barriers that perhaps the older generation of women who are currently in commercial real estate see. We have these young women who are, at least if I'm using her as an example, but I just thought it was a brilliant way that she looked at commercial real estate and the brokerage field is that her destiny's in her hands and she can control what she earns. And I think that what we're seeing is a whole new generation of young women coming who look at the workforce, the workplace differently, and they don't see the same barriers. Now, that's not to say the barriers aren't there, but I think they are dismissive of some of the ways that perhaps that other women have been treated historically and view themselves as the future of the industry to be able to break through those barriers and overcome those barriers. So there's, I think, an attitude. And I think there's a high respect for commercial real estate in terms of a career option that you're only limited by what you put on yourself, not what others put on you. Now, we know from a historic perspective that that's not always true, but I think you'll see a younger generation that really aspires to break through those barriers that have existed and will be able to plow through them as the systems change. Because I think in the next 5 to 7 years, as we see an exodus from our industry of the traditional older white male leadership, you're going to have younger men coming into those leadership roles as well as women, but they're going to be men who do not have the same viewpoints of women as mothers and wives, but more as partners and equals. And I think so, given that shift in the type of men who will be in the business with this entrepreneurial spirit and attitude among a younger generation of women, there will be more of a view of less gender focused and more equal partner focused of, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or what your race is or what your sexual orientation is, it matters what you deliver. And so I'm hopeful that this cultural and societal shift and the shift as baby boomers exit this field will really be a dramatic change for women and people of color as we move forward. And the diversity, inclusion, and will take place and take hold, and then real innovation will happen.
Since you mentioned the new generation and innovation, what role does technology play when it comes to women's entry into the industry, when it comes to the way they promote themselves online?
So I don't see any difference in the role technology plays between men and women. But technology really definitely is a game changer for the industry. And we have been slow adopters in some ways, but there's been a real push. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. So I think that what the two things that I look at with technology are technology and how it serves the customer, the buyer, the investor in commercial real estate, and then technology and how it affects your personal brand and it equalizes the playing field for men and women and for everyone who's in commercial real estate, really. And so on the customer side, is there's this drive where there's an amazing expectation about well-being, wellness, carbon footprint, ease and access. And that's all driving prop tech, whether it's in the office, it's in industrial, it's in, you know, creating efficiencies, and it's in multifamily for sure. But you're going to see and not even just in all the different property classes, but also in how we go about buying and researching what we're looking for, both on the investment side, the ownership side, as well as the, you know, user side. And so if we're not embracing that now, if the industry and companies aren't embracing, and I see them, many of the big brokerage houses have started or are involved in the technology piece and have hired dedicated technologists. But I also think it's not just bringing people in-house, but being aware of what's going on out there in terms of the startups that are happening. So that's going to be more of a customer, how the customer looks at brokerage or how the customer looks at commercial real estate going forward, even AI within the industrial space, as well as some of those other technologies they're using. On the personal brand side and the individual side, the great equalizer is that you can be out on social media and raising your profile as a thought leader and demonstrating that through all of the things you're putting out there. So I think that whether you're a man or a woman, anyone is going to be able to have and establish a greater presence and the presence they want, not the presence that someone else may put on them through their own initiative using and leveraging technology.
You're among the most successful women in real estate. I'm sure you had along the way many other women that inspired you. Could you please talk about one of your greatest inspirations or someone who influenced your career?
Wow. There were probably two women. One, my first job out of college, I worked for a woman at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And we actually, one of the things she said to me early on was, you know, we just need to get on with it. Let's just do this. And it doesn't matter who gets credit as long as the right things are getting done. And that always stuck with me. And she said, Wendy, I don't care who's getting credit for this. I just want to make sure that the deal's getting closed and I get it done. And so I always keep that in mind, is credit is less important than making sure the right things are happening for the business and or organization that you represent. So that was one. And then I had a CEO, a woman CEO, probably mid-career. And boy, did we butt heads when we first met. And I couldn't, you know, I tried to understand her and I tried to get her. And she was saying things, and it was her first time as a CEO, and it was my first time working with a woman CEO. And I have to say that she used to say, the things that stick with me were, and this was a big one, we all work for ourselves. And I'm like, oh, the old bat's crazy. I'm working for her. What is she thinking? And she just really felt strongly that we each are in control of our own destiny when it comes to work. We are in charge of our success and our accomplishments. And so her, in hindsight, after I worked with her for probably at least 2 years, and then I left, and I actually went back to work with her on contract for two additional special projects. And I think what's interesting now, and she is one of my guiding forces, we still see one another, we have lunch together, and I have a plaque on my desk that she gave me that she had on her desk when she took her first CEO job. And I'll tell you, her name is Susan Sarfati. And I tell you, to this day, I think of that mantra of, we all work for ourselves, right? Whether you're in commercial real estate or you're running an association or whatever you're doing is, you are in charge of what you accomplish. You are in charge of your brand and who you are, and you're in charge of how you lead, and leadership is super important in terms of those successes and accomplishments. And so I think that those two things combined is part of that message, not just for women, but for anybody, is be in charge of who you are and what you're bringing to the table, and you can accomplish anything you set your mind to, and know that it's not just about working for someone else. It's the work that you do yourself to make those accomplishments happen. So, so Susan Sarfati, and the plaque that I have on my desk says, the quote is, footprints in history aren't made sitting down. So yeah, I think about that. I'm not going to sit here and take things. I'm going to make things happen because I'm in charge. I work for myself.
That's a great story and a great motivation for anyone working in the industry, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you consider things to go in the right direction when it comes to making the real estate industry more diverse and inclusive?
You know, I think it's not a choice anymore. I think things are going in the right direction? Yes. And here, the reason why is that there's increased discussion, there's increased focus, there's increased hiring in companies of diverse chief diversity officers, and there's a commitment. And I think part of the reason why is that I think we still have CEOs who think it's an HR issue. It is not an HR issue. It's a business issue. It's a fundamental bottom line issue. And there's no way that we can go forward as an industry without understanding that it's not an HR issue. And you can hire anybody you want in HR. No offense to HR. I total respect, mm-hmm. because I think you do need someone focused on it in HR. But until it permeates the entire company and there's accountability from the top down, it will be hard to make change that's fundamental and systematic within the entire ecosystem of a company, because it goes so deep. And it's not just about hiring people of color or people from, women. It's about the whole idea of this. We're building this internal system that embraces inclusion, gives people that sense of belonging. It embraces breaking down any barriers that exist, unconscious bias. It's a systemic kind of issue that we have to embrace. So on the upside, I think it's being talked about. I think it's being focused on within, by hiring people that focus on diversity and inclusion. I do think that there needs to be a fundamental shift mentally to understanding this is a bottom line opportunity for companies versus an HR issue. And I think accountability starts at the top.
And going back to your benchmark study, why should anyone participate? What do they need to know in order to be part of this study? I know the deadline is the end of March, right?
Yeah, the deadline is March 31st for participation. And here's the thing is that it's in best interest for men, women, everyone, and people of color to participate. And it's in the best interest of companies to embrace this as an opportunity for us to at least establish a baseline for all of us. Whatever the numbers are, whatever comes out, it gives us a baseline of understanding where we are as an industry, and we can grow from there, right? We can all understand where we are. And the more people that participate from the multifamily sector, from the office sector, from industrial, will be, you know, we have to have a certain response rate to be able to pull data. So we always get the question, how, you know, what do our numbers look like for women in finance? What do our numbers look like for, you know, people of color in multifamily? We can't tell those numbers unless we have a significant response rate that allows us to break it out. So I'm very hopeful that if people understand that we're setting an industry standard, this isn't just about women and Crew Network. This is about us being able to say to the entire industry, look where we are and look how far we have to go, or join us to move this forward. And I think that's a really powerful place for the entire industry to embrace. We are the only organization that's doing this. And I want everyone to feel like it's not about Crew, it's about the industry at large. And if we can get that participation rate up, if we can get a significant response rate for all the different asset classes, we are gonna have a goldmine of data. And we're in the era of big data, right? We're gonna have a goldmine of data that everyone can use. There's a benchmark now. And so even though companies, they may be benchmarking within themselves, wouldn't it be great if they had the broader industry benchmarks as well to aspire to? March 31st, everybody sign up.
Yeah, people just need to go to your website and they'll have all the info there, right?
Absolutely, yes. Everything you need to know is on our website, and or you can contact us at Crew Network, and we will be happy to help support your company participation or your organizational participation if you are an association. I do have to recognize ICSD has committed $25,000 to the study this year and is, in a big way, one of our leaders in this study, partnering with us and spearheading this effort and really walking their talk on diversity and inclusion. And I can't say that enough. We were, they were so generous to support this effort because they believe and they know they need that data. In addition to that, NMHC, the National Multifamily Housing Council, has come on board with a sponsorship and support. They're both distributing this survey to their members. BOMA, SIOR, and a couple of the other industry organizations have also made that commitment. And so it's being pushed out there. It's just getting the response right back. And again, men and people of color, two really important audiences for us, all the asset classes. We'd love to have everybody view this as a great opportunity to support the entire industry and come together around this.
Great talking to you, Wendy. Our time is almost up. Thank you so much for all the insights you provided.
Laura, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Until our next audio meeting, visit cpexecutive.com for the latest news on commercial real estate.